This is Where Did the Road Go? Our aim is to explore the fringe, to be true skeptics and question openly, to investigate the paranormal, bring light to the dark corners of history, and give a voice to the shunned of science. We deal in mystery and the important questions that these subjects bring to light. What is reality? Who are we? And why are we here? Join us on the web at wheredidtheroadgo.com for a full show archive, links to all our social media, upcoming schedule, and much, much more. Now, join your host Soraya on this week's edition of Where Did the Road Go?
And welcome to tonight's show. If you are listening live here on WVBR, you can go into our chat room and ask questions at wheredidtheroadgo.com. And real quick, our patrons, if you are interested in supporting the show, become a patron. Go to the website again, and there's a link for it. And trying as often as possible to get some extra content from guests. The last two things I put up for patrons only were spooky stories from Peter Robbins and Nick Redfern. So shows will always be free, archive will always be free, but become a patron for $3. You'll get extra stuff, and we're working on merchandise as well. All right. Tonight, we have, you know what, I'm going to let you say your last name. Andre?
Andre Goncharovs.
Okay, because no matter how many times you tell me, I'm going to screw it up.
Sure. Well, that's not your most common name.
No, and it's not exact. It's sort of how it's spelled.
Yeah, it is. I mean, if you look at the letters and understand that some of the markings under and over letters got dropped in the translation of families coming over, there would be a check over the C and a soft letter under the V, and that's why it sounds like it does, but doesn't quite look that way.
Right. All right, and you are the co-owner of the Antique Center, also known as the Antique Mall to some people.
Right. The big sign says the Ithaca Antique Mall, but due to historical zoning, we can't easily change that. So we've been the Antique Center, the Ithaca Antique Center, for about 10 years.
And you've had a lot of spooky occurrences there.
Yeah, I guess some people would say they're spooky. To me, they're really just normal, not necessarily every day. But interesting occurrences, and might I add, if you read the short synopsis that I put on your website, just unexplainable.
Yes, yeah, you're not someone who's labeling these things as one thing or another.
No, I've been a lifelong interested researcher of paranormal activity. I don't have any books to my name or major articles anywhere. But I have been with individuals to discuss some of the things that I've experienced, not just at the Ithaca Antique Center, but in many other places, mm-hmm. and try to come up with a reasonable explanation as to why these events happened, how they might have happened. That doesn't make me a skeptic, however, because try as I may, there are just some things that are just so difficult to explain logically.
Well, a skeptic really means someone who questions.
Right.
And so you're a skeptic in that quest. You're not a debunker. You're not just saying, this stuff isn't real.
Nomenclature is important.
All right. So let's talk about some of the stuff that happened there. We have a couple of videos we're going to be putting up with this when it goes up into the archive.
Sure.
But do you want to talk about, let's start with the one with the lamp, because that was definitely
That's the one that you liked a lot when you came up to visit.
And we did a video for this, but to give people a better perspective on it, but sure. Tell people what happened.
Sure. Well, first, just a disclaimer, the video was more description of where things were, and I couldn't actually make the lamp do what it did, but I could at least point the trajectory of things.
As far as we know, nothing paranormal exists on the video.
As far as we know. Well, these events at the Antique Center have happened over the last several years, and most of them are short-lived occurrences, maybe single occurrences, maybe repeated over a short period of time, but nothing long-term, with the exception of one series of experiences that I feel were connected, and we'll get to that later in the show because that really turned my attention to the power of some of these energies that are out there. And again, I can't define them specifically because they're difficult to describe as to what they are. So they get these more generic terms like energy and spirit
form. And I think that's the better way to go with it.
Yeah, at least for this. At any rate, this particular incident, middle of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, several years ago, I was at the counter, and if anyone's been to the Antique Center, they know that when you first walk in, there's a counter to the right, and then there's the showroom floor to your front and off to your left. And I was talking with an individual who knows about what, some sort of piece of antiquity they wanted to sell or buy, having a good time with it. And there were three other people down the hallway directly in front of me. Along the hallway are several showcases, clear cases that are locked, that have more valuable items. On the top of these showcases are various things that don't fit into showcases that might have a little more value, such as lamps or figures, even rocking chairs sometimes, so people won't sit in them. It's a little hard to jump 6 feet in the air and sit in a rocking chair, but they are able to be seen from the floor. These showcases are made from glass and steel, and they are about 6 feet tall. Well, we have many of them in the store, and down the way, almost to the end of the building, and I can see from the counter pretty much every activity that happens on each side of these showcases. Well, on that first row, I'm talking to the individual. There's two gentlemen halfway down looking at something, holding it up. And then down about the third case from the end, there's another individual about 4 feet away from the edge of the showcases. And I'm always looking around to make sure. It's my job to make sure everyone's safe, anyone has questions. And there is this oil lamp that had been converted to an electric lamp, very common in our industry. Mm-hmm. Antiques get abused that way all the time, but sometimes just for plain functionality. And on the top of this lamp is a glass chimney, which you would see in an oil lamp, and surrounding it is a glass globe that has a hole that allows the chimney and the light bulb to be surrounded by. At the bottom of the glass globe is this cup of metal fingers, spring steel, but mm-hmm. but not very strong. The globe itself is about 4.5-5 pounds. It was a very large globe. The chimney surrounding the light bulb is sticking up through the glass globe. So we have 8 inches from the top of the globe, and this is milk glass, which is an opaque white glass with bumps on the outside called hobnails in the industry. So there's about 8 inches. And as I'm looking down the aisle, I see the white globe literally launch itself from the lamp, clearing the chimney, not knocking it off, continuing up another 6 inches, turning slightly to the left, falling straight down, hitting the top of the showcase, and then bouncing up a little bit from the shock, not shattering, and then falling to the ground, hitting the carpet and shattering into, 1,000 pieces. And this all took place in about 2.5 seconds,
right,
maybe.
Right.
The man who was closest, it was a moment of hilarity, looks up and towards up to the front, and he says, "I didn't do it." and of course, the two other guys, they're there, and they start laughing, and we all start laughing. But the man saw this happen. The two men saw it happen. I saw it happen. The only one who didn't see it happen was the man I was talking to. So a very excited conversation took place up at the counter about what we just saw. Of course, after we cleaned it up and made it safe. Now, I mean, one could spend a little bit of time thinking, well, okay, maybe someone was trying to pull something or whatever, but my eyes were on it the whole time, as were three other people.
Yeah.
We're talking about a number of pounds of glass. That would be a lot of force.
And as people will see on the video, the top of this is not easy to, you have to reach up to get to the top of it. When you were trying to demonstrate, it was hard for you to get it off the top you know, to begin with.
I'm a quarter inch shy of 6 feet, and my arms are very long. And it was difficult to get the globe that I was demonstrating for you up over the chimney, let alone another 6 inches.
Right, right.
And then give it a little bit of a shove so it would fall over to the left. So, and that's not an uncommon experience, although that's a little bit more dramatic. There were other things that happened that were maybe a little bit more interesting and then forced me to investigate it a little bit more seriously on that particular end. But the globe one was rather unique because it meant that there was some very strong force that pushed that globe up and over. And we looked at that lamp over and over again. There were some others that individuals who I consider to be aware looking at it, and no materials, and there's just no way that the springs on that could push that much weight up in the air. We tried to make it happen, and it couldn't even come close.
Whatever happened to it?
What happened to which?
To the lamp.
Mm. Well, it sat there for a long time thinking, well, maybe there's a phase two here.
Yeah.
It did not, and I think it ended up in the back, as it does when things are disturbed like that.
Mm. So you have a collection of haunted artifacts in the back.
Well, I don't chafe at the word haunted, but they are less useful and less pretty. Let's put it that way. But oftentimes we'll take them apart and sell the parts to people who are looking to fix things. It was a pretty lamp, I have to say. But
not after the globe was gone.
No, it was just a converted lamp with a glass chimney at that point.
Now you also had an incident where glass bottles were rolling off the.
Yeah, that was good, and that was around that time, maybe 6 months or so. An engineering friend of mine who works for Sikorsky, it's a helicopter manufacturer. Their main base is in Connecticut. They had a satellite operation in the Binghamton area. Hmm. And very, very intelligent man. We have some good laughs. I worked for a consulting firm for many years, and we did some safety studies on helicopter equipment. So I knew all the parts, and you know, every once in a while, I like to exercise my lexicon of helicopter parts just for fun. And so I'm talking with him. I'm upstairs, and if you've been upstairs before, yeah. It's a rather unique building, and we can talk about the history of the building. But the architecture is rather unique. It's a huge Quonset hut made from Pennsylvania yellow pine, and so the upstairs is 16 plus feet from the bottom to the top, maybe a little bit more, all curved. Mm-hmm. And how they built it was rather unique. They had they didn't bring in the pieces all curved. They had these pressing frames where they were able to get the wood steamed or wet, I'm not sure which, and then curve them to the right curve, and that became the skeleton of the building. And then they would put the wood over, but it was all wood. There's no metal in that building except for some places where they connect the wood to the
really?
Concrete floor.
Huh.
So it's very interesting. So when the wind blows and things like that, you hear various noises that you might think that they're kind of interesting. At any rate, the building doesn't really shake that much. I mean, you hear creaking, but it doesn't shake very much.
It seems pretty solid.
Yeah, yeah. And if you're not totally aware of how we go to business, we part of the space is rented to dealerships, individuals mm-hmm. who collect antiques, amongst which can be bottles and cans and other things to kind of fill the shelves so that they can pay the rent, so I can pay the rent and forward. And my friend from Sikorsky and I were standing in the middle of that floor upstairs, and we're talking about the very thing that we're talking about. Not that I brought it up, but he was kind of interested because mm-hmm. he's an empiricist and he's an engineer, and things happen in helicopters that are hard to explain. And I believe it was his either girlfriend or fiance at the time who rented space in another corner. So he was up, you know, just helping out a little mm-hmm. bit, and we were talking. And just literally as we were talking about things like things falling off of shelves. And I said, you know, a fairly common occurrence is things fall off walls, and glass bottles sometimes fall off of shelves and don't break. Just then, a medicinal bottle, fairly large, and I don't remember that it was Dr. Bronnenfeld's or something. It was an obscure make. You could hear it fall. You could hear it roll, and I know the sound when it hits the floor. And his eyes were about as wide open as you could imagine. He was looking at me like, did you just do that? And I said, you know, without him saying it, I said, no, I didn't do that. That just happened. And it happens a little more frequently than you think. Now, of course, bottles can fall over and whatnot, sure, but sure. The timing of it was just
very synchronistic.
It was more unnerving for him because I've experienced it enough. So the synchronicity was there, yeah. And nice. And there's nothing else more to explain. I mean, I walked over. There's the bottle on the floor. It rolled in between other two bottles. So it took some finesse to get that bottle from the back shelf between the two bottles to roll it and make it hit the floor.
Nice.
So somebody was creative.
So tell us a little history of the building.
Yeah. Well, the building was built in 1949. It was the first commercial leap forward for a company called Babcock Poultry. Many of the locals who were aware of the local business history knew that Monroe Babcock was a very intelligent man, was into breeding chickens, and his timing was perfect. He was a Cornell grad, understood chickens and breeding, and got started downtown, and this was the first big building that they built. I believe it was financed locally. It was designed by a firm out of New York City. This was a unique building altogether. And of course, you know, as not too many years went by, building architecture changed for agricultural buildings, mostly because of costs. So this didn't become the golden maxim, as it were, of buildings of the future. But at the time, at the moment, it was. So, and there's a lot of stories about, you know, things happening in that first building. And of course, because his business grew so fast, they put up many more buildings in the nearby, including ones across the street and down the way and near the house. And they employed up to 1,300 people at one time.
Wow.
There's a good ebook on online. You can just look it up and get the history of the business. Interestingly enough, and this doesn't necessarily have to do with things, but the one thing that Monroe Babcock that I learned about history, and I love industrial history, it's always been something that I've been interested in. He fell in love with this Scotch pine that was out in the field to the direct south of the building. And that tree grew. You see pictures, aerial pictures, and as the year goes on, this Scotch pine is, you know, taller and whatnot, but it's very, very much alone. There's nothing else around it. And apparently, and if you look at that ebook that someone wrote from Florida, and you look at what's being talked about the history and about the theology, so to speak, of the company, that pine shows up over and over again. It even shows up in the company logo, which is very interesting. Sometime in the mid 70s, maybe right towards the end of the business, I mean, it split up in several ways. It was hit by lightning. Monroe was, he was in his probably his 60s or 70s then, apparently was very upset and almost despondent over the fact that his tree was hit and killed and burned out in the field. The interesting thing is that the back building, there's another building that was built and attached to ours at one time, but different, but is now being rented to artists and musicians. There was a woman who was writing songs in the back, children's songs mostly. And, you know, we got to be friends. She had a whole CD. So, heck, I have customers. They love listening to local music, and I play it all the time. I put it on. The first song is one called The Lonesome Pine. And I said, well, I said, you must know the history of the Babcock Farms. She had no idea. She wrote an entire song about this pine tree is not out there. It's been gone for 30 plus 40 years. And she wrote a song about it, about this lonesome pine providing, you know, comfort and wisdom to people and to kids and things like that. So here you have not a thing, but you have an influence of some kind. I'm not saying that the owner of the business influenced her, but how did she pick up that information?
Yeah, what are the chances she'll write that particular song?
Seriously. It's a great song. I wish I had brought a CD of it. You could have played it. But I'm sure we could do that in the future. But, you know, it's a good example of someone that I would call an aware, you know, someone who's more than sensitive.
Right.
But aware of and able to actually express feelings and know the hows, whys, and wheres of what in event or energy that she or he is feeling.
And when did it become an antique place?
Ah, so we get back. About 11 or 12 years ago.
Was it in between?
In between, it was empty, and then before that, it was a cidery, one of the local cider companies, before making fermented cider was cool. And they tried to give it a shot, but they didn't. They moved up the lake and have now become a great success. So it wasn't meant to be. But they were only there for a short period of time. I actually looked at that building about 10 years prior to it becoming an antique center as a document storage building. I fell in love with the upstairs. And, you know, back to the stories, people would come in and say, I used to work here. We used to go upstairs. And, you know, I remember when I looked at it as a document storage business that there was two basketball hoops on far ends. That's a long building.
Yeah.
We're talking about three basketball court lengths.
Yeah.
So there must have been some really crazy basketball games up there. I knew that they used it for storage. But nonetheless, a lot of people worked there. A lot of people went through there. As far as I can tell, there was nobody that ever passed away in the building. I've had some people who I would consider to be sensitives or maybe even adepts that have been in. And there's always the detection of some kind of energies there or you know, departed. But no traumatic endings except for possibly millions of chickens.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, they were a chicken broodery. So they raised chickens to send them out to hatcheries who would send them out to large-scale farms or other hatcheries for their particular stock. So,
All right. And you've been there how long?
Been involved for 7 to 8 years.
All right. And as you said, pictures falling off walls, things like this are fairly common.
Yeah, I mean, some are totally explained. I mean, people pick them up during the day and put them back on the hook and pulls them down to secure them, not knowing that they're loosening a nail or a screw.
Right.
But the timing of it sometimes is odd. But there are some that are just too hard to explain one night, and oftentimes I'll do my paperwork at night so I don't have to worry about interacting with customers.
Right.
And there's a stairwell that goes to the upstairs, and I leave that door open. It's got a magnetic fire door there, but I leave it open to allow the air to move around. And one particular night in the spring, a couple years back, I heard that telltale sign of a painting with a frame and glass letting go. But it didn't stop there. It rolled down on its edge all the way to the bottom. No problem there. That happens once in a while. It happened again. So a second one followed it. And there's only railing on one side of that whole stairwell. And it was on the side where there's no railing. So it's not one that gets brushed very much. It happened again. All in the same night, within 15 minutes each. You know, separated. They came from different parts of the wall, too. So
one didn't loosen the other.
That's right. And in two of the cases, the nails holding the paintings were still there at the angle that we normally put them in. So that was more than interesting. It didn't worry me, but there it was. I mean, three paintings, you know, tumbled down on their edge all the way to the bottom of the stairs, two women and a dog. So
someone's rearranging for you.
Someone's rearranging. You know, someone didn't like those paintings.
Now, I believe you told me this one was very interesting. Grandma's ash box.
Ah, Grandma's ash box. Well, part of the business is people coming in. I call them pickers, but they can be anybody, really, with items from their households, from the basement of where they live, Grandma's stuff, you know, their uncles or whatever. And for the most part, I think it's all legitimate. But every once in a while, you get one that you know, you don't know if their story is quite right, and you have to question them further and tell them they have to take their stuff and go. With this one individual from Moravia, and I do have to say that, you know, we're inching closer to some of the better stories, and so that'll keep everyone on the edge of their seats. But I can't tell you the names. I really can't.
No, that's good.
Because
that's good.
Some of the things that did happen really did happen. And there are individuals involved locally that are still here. And,
yeah, no, that's good. It's better not to name names.
Yeah, for a good number of reasons.
Yes.
All right. So Grandma's Ash Box, we actually, when the box came in, it was a very ornate box, velvet lined, puffy. And the gentleman who brought it in said, well, you know, this box has been kicking around the house for a while. And my uncle kept his guns in it. He had a couple of pistols that he kept in it. And apparently this gentleman's wife no longer wanted to have the box in the house. Hmm. And he was about maybe 50 years old, you know, farmer type. Mm-hmm. And he brought the box in. And I said, you know, I said, this looks just the kind of thing. It's kind of antique-y. You know, maybe it had another purpose somewhere. But clearly, you could fit a pistol or two in there and, right, and put it away and put it on the mantle and wait for the duel or whatever you're going to do with it or just show it off. There were no guns in it, of course. So I said, all right, I'll purchase the box. And away he goes, happy to go off and buy some beer or milk. And the box sits in the corner. Well, the very next day, someone comes in and looks at the box and says, I feel so compelled to just be near this box, to pick this box up, to look at this box. Hmm. And he brought it up, and he's looking at it, and he says, it looks so familiar. The next day, another person comes in, and he reacts very similarly, very attracted to this box. Hmm. And, you know, weird things happen. I mean, even today, this morning, the topic was spies, and it seemed to come up everywhere. I mean, people were talking about spies, and I don't know who's driving this stuff, you know, what the topic of the day. I certainly didn't start it, but this box was of great interest. Well, this goes on for about a week, and people picking up the box, not every single day, but a week and a couple days. And this one girl comes in, and she says, I have to have this box. This box is talking to me to bring this, get this box. And, you know, in the course of conversation, I say, where are you from? She says she's from Moravia. This box was from Moravia. It's very interesting that she'd be attracted to it. That was interesting. She buys the box and goes away. The very next day, I get a frantic phone call from the man who sold me the box. And he says, do you still have that box? And I said, no, I sold it. That's what I do. I buy things and I resell them. You know, this is pretty normal. He says, well, I said, that wasn't my uncle's gun box. That was my grandmother's urn ash box. So he sold his grandmother's box. It turns out that, and this girl, you know, purchased it, lives in Moravia, knows the family, returned the box. Mm. She, you know, we were able to get in touch with her, returned the box. How did that happen? I mean, how did that girl, you know, I mean, feel so compelled and being where she was from to purchase that box and do that? And the grandma must have been pretty upset. But there again, you have this connection with a thing. And I know that, you know, you've talked about that. I mean, my experiences are oftentimes around things and items, because that's what I do for a living.
Sure, yeah.
But most people, their experiences are about in and around things. And As someone who's interested in paranormal activity, I mean, there seems to be a natural conclusion that departed spirits or energies can be stuck to an item, mm-hmm. and then, mm-hmm. well, and I have trouble with the intelligent acting on things. I don't buy that, but some of that energy must have some influence on whoever comes in contact with or another items around it, but. Interestingly enough, you know, after that box left, you know, people, you know, would come in and they would note the spot because they saw the box before, but note it was gone and they didn't have feelings. I would test them. I would say, you know, what did you feel when you, so when that box was there, they noted feelings that they had around that box.
Hmm.
So that, I mean, there's nothing threatening about it, nothing at all, but fascinating, simply fascinating.
Yeah, very subtle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good choice of words.
Now, on the not so subtle level, let's talk about the turtles.
I
think this was the first story you told me.
Yeah, you came in for a shopping reason or something. And it's funny because
I think we had a turtle to sell you.
Maybe that was it.
And that's how the story came about.
The turtles. Well, I've been known to play jokes on people and even people I don't know sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes means just curious placement of figures and figures of animals. I had these two porcelain turtles, identical left and right. And I put them on top of the cooler, which when you come in the door, the old one was to the left. And it had a nice little shelf up on top. And I put the two turtles up there. Well, they were there for 2.5 years up there watching over everything. You know, sometimes people who got to know them would wave a little bit. Nothing too mysterious about these turtles.
How big were they?
They're about as big as my fist, maybe a little smaller.
Okay. So nothing huge.
Nothing huge, but a little bit of weight. The turtles next out of the box. In August of the year where the activity started, one morning I came in and the turtles are off the cooler and they're on the floor directly in front of the door. You know, akimbo, you know, one outside, the other one kind of facing the cooler.
Hmm.
I didn't think much of it. I thought, well, you know, maybe something turned on or off or, you know, maybe a squirrel came in and knocked it off, but it's not possible because that would have set off the motion detectors. We have motion detectors. We have more detectors for everything in that building, for value, but for insurance purposes too. Mm. And that went on for about a period of 2, almost 3 weeks, where the turtles would, every day, I'd put the turtles back up and down they would come. About maybe the 10th time, I didn't keep track exactly on a calendar. It's not my nature. I came to the door. It was a beautiful morning. And the two turtles are side by side looking out the door. Now, at that moment, I said, someone's playing a joke on me.
Right.
And I thought, well, we're going to get to the bottom of this, you know, one way or another. So I go and check the security cameras, which I had one on the door at the time, and I had one at the counter, and I go through the fast forwards. There's nothing in it. And it wasn't right on the turtles, so you couldn't, if they had fallen off, but I could see if someone walked by.
Okay.
Nobody went by the whole night. So I thought, okay, someone could be smarter than me and really playing a fast joke and maybe came around the other way. So we have a security panel, and the door is secure, and it's the only one that works with the security code. You have to come through that door, and you have to go and ring in your security code to say that you were in the building. Well, guess what? I called the security company, and no one had been in. This continued for another 10 or 12 days, and the turtles would come off. And I was beside myself, and I quizzed all the employees that came through, and they all thought, well, not all thought, a couple of them thought I was a little crazy. But nonetheless, here these turtles are falling off with some regularity, and there was that one day where they were both facing out, and that just was just a little too weird. Well, about 3 weeks in, the turtles are off again. This time, one turtle facing the door, the other one neck broken.
Mm.
Interesting. And I thought, well, you know, this is getting slightly creepy, but I can handle this because, you know, I see this stuff all the time, right? So I take the unbroken turtle and I put it up on top of the cooler. He doesn't come off for almost 3 months. He's up there all by, or she, I don't know, up there by himself. The broken one I set aside. About that time, a group of people walk in, a woman and two men, maybe in their late 20s, early 30s. And the woman walks in, and within a second, her head turns like Carrie in The Exorcist. It literally just turns. And she looks up and she goes, "What's up with that turtle?" She knew that turtle was special. I had no idea who this person was. I didn't tell her that there was a turtle up there. So as we go through the conversation, I tell her the whole story about the turtles. And she tells me that she's part of the Paranormal Museum in the Lake Niagara District in Canada. I gave her the turtle to put in the museum. And she was thrilled with that, of course. But But so they have the turtle at this moment. But she knew that the turtle had some special something going on with that figure.
And you said that museum is closed now?
It's now closed.
That's too bad.
Somebody got all the contents, so I'm going to see if we can chase down the turtle and see if we can continue the experience or not. But clearly, how did those turtles come off that cooler so often?
Yeah.
And why did they come off exactly that way?
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with Andre.
Where Did the Road Go can be heard first and usually live on WVBR, Saturday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern. Go to wheredidtheroadgo.com to ask questions of our live guests through the chat room. Where Did the Road Go is then re-aired on Dark Matter Radio and Deprogrammed Radio. You can download all shows for free on the website, and you can subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, YouTube, or Vimeo. Additional content can be found on our video channels. You will also find our upcoming schedule, book reviews, blogs, free book downloads, links, and more. We are also on Facebook and Twitter, and if you want to help support the show, there are links to donate to us. Everything you need can be found at wheredidtheroadgo.com.
And you're listening to Where Did the Road Go? And I'm here with Andre
Goncharov.
Thank you. Co-owner of the Antique Center up Route 96 here in Ithaca. And it says Antique Mall, just to avoid confusion for people, or to add to confusion for people. And we've been going over some of the experiences you've had in this place. And let's see, what were we up to here? Oh, the strings. We actually did a video on the strings.
Right.
So this was kind of just subtle and weird.
Sure, sure. Again, many of these things were my own experiences. I didn't have someone right there to corroborate every single thing, but I'd wish I'd had the wherewithal to actually video this one. This one was kind of fun. Yeah. Again, I'm sitting at the counter, and it's the middle of the day. The middle of the day for me is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon because we open up a little later. And we, all kinds of things. The door is open. There might be wind blowing. There could be a lot of people moving in and out. So there's a lot of factors that could be involved. But I'm the only one in the building at this point. And it's a very clear, calm day. And I'm doing some paperwork, getting caught up. So when I'm not dealing with, customers or dealers coming in or people looking to sell things. And on the post to the wall directly in front of me are there two paintings, small ones that would fit on the casement of the door frame. And behind the painting is a string, a heavy string, left from another piece of artwork that had been there. These are not very large pieces, but there's enough of a tail there, maybe 4 or 5 inches between the next painting. And behind the second one is another piece of string that could have been a little bit lighter. Well, as the video describes, and I tried to reenact it for you, but something caught my attention. Something had moved. And I thought, well, maybe something was preparing to pitch off, the top of a case, who knows? And I see the string that is about dead center in the casement looked like someone took their finger and tweaked it. And it goes about a solid 2 inches to the left and then swings back, jiggles back, settles down. And I go, I wait, and it happens again. Tweak, and it goes up to the side. And then nothing happens for a good solid maybe 10 minutes. And then directly below it on the other one, there's a little bit of a cord, another string. And the same thing happens, except this one really goes up, like someone really whacked it. So,
and that was the lighter of the two.
That was the lighter of the two. So, there you have something very, very interesting, not particularly exciting, that or violent or noise
right,
or whatever.
Right, right. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But clearly some energy, and this... there were movies, I think, about, I can't remember some of them, but there was one that describes, beings from another dimension trying to get the attention of someone. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what kind of proof we could have on that one. But nonetheless, there it was. But trying to be the inquiring mind that I was, that I am, I continued my work. The next day, I'm sitting at the desk, very similar. And I'm aware that, you know, there could be a good number of things that could have done that. I looked behind these paintings. There were no insects. There were no rodents. You know, there was no other electrical cords. There was no wind in the building. There was nothing like that at all.
And you would think if there was a wind, it would have blown both strings at the same time.
Or the other direction, because the wind comes in the door. So it would have blown to the right, not to the left.
Okay, yeah.
The downstairs doesn't have any fans, and it wasn't a particularly warm day, so I wouldn't have had them on anyway, and there was no one else in the building. Mm-hmm. So I had those three, but then the next day, as I'm thinking about it, of course, and I'm doing some more paperwork, and there are strings everywhere because we use string tags and we tie things. It's a very common thing to see them. Underneath some paper when I'm working, there's a tail of another string, and as I'm writing, it flips to the left again. This time it's right in front of me. It got my attention, so much so that I have two friends who consider themselves aware and one considers herself an adept, invited them over, said, we're going to sit and find out what this is all about. So we planned to meet, a couple nights later, about 10 o'clock at night. And it wasn't a seance. I don't believe in, you know, I don't follow that. I mean, I'm sure there are people that can do it or people who are interested in doing it. But I just wanted to get some sort of physiologic response, either on ourselves or to see it again. And we put strings in different places and hid them partially. And we were there for 3 hours and nothing.
Of course.
Nothing happened. And, you know, of course, we did all the things you see in all those Ghostbuster type reality shows, you talk, you say your things, but absolutely nothing happened. And it's, and as I explained earlier, these things happen for a short time and then they stop happening. Well, interestingly enough, about a couple of weeks later, those paintings sold and the cord was there for a while. Nothing like that has ever happened again. So, you know, you try to explain, you know, what forces could have made that happen, but there's nothing logical that can explain it.
And if it was an intelligence, what's it trying to communicate?
What was it trying to communicate? Clearly,
string
theory. But clearly, it got my attention. And there's some other individuals who come in from time to time. And I don't know whether anyone can be, you know, self-proclaimed as an adept, like they can actually manipulate the environment. And I suppose there are people like that.
Sure.
But even recently, someone came in looking for their purse that they left. And she said, this place is just full of all kinds of things. And I said, yeah, there's a lot of stuff. And she said, that's not what I mean.
Has anyone ever investigated in there? Like any ghost hunters or anything like that?
There's an individual not far from here who came in once to do a quick walk around and said this would be a great place to do it.
I'm sure.
But no one official. I mean...
You have a lady that follows some of your workers.
Well, that was the one and only time where we actually experienced an apparition. Hmm. We've had all kinds of, like I said, there's noises. We went to the one room where some of my customers have reported whispering in the corner.
Yes, yeah, we did that on the video.
Turned out to be the room where they mulched the chickens. So someone did get hurt back there, but I don't know if there's anything real about that. It's hard to make a connection, but that's the corner where, and these people don't know each other. At least I would suspect that they're not setting me up, you know, in some respect. That would be almost absurd. I have thousands of customers, and it's not likely that any of these people, you know, would corroborate something like this. But indeed, you know, on five separate occasions, you know, they reported hearing something like whispering in the back. There's no machinery back there. There's no...
Yeah, it's a small little storeroom.
It's a small storeroom, yeah. Yeah, and there's that spooky 7-foot Santa there.
I was going to say, with a creepy-looking Santa.
Well, you know, it's more funny than that one. I mean, he's... we used to have him on the floor around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
And three winters ago, that particularly warm winter, much like we're having now, One of the back doors blew open, the alarms went off, and the sheriff was there before I was. And apparently one of my brighter than average employees put a toy plastic gun in Santa's hand. And the sheriff, I knew he was in there. I got in, and I hear this laughter from coming from the back of the darkened antique center at 3 a.m. And he said, Santa almost got it right there. He had his gun drawn the whole nine yards. So, because he put his flashlight up, and there was Santa. So he's been banished to the back room. But I doubt that Santa has anything to do with it. But to have five separate instances of someone hearing something reported as whispering.
Yeah,
I've never heard specific whispering myself, but five separate customers, not dealers, but customers hearing it in the corner, not reported as anything violent or
can they
aggressive.
Tell what it's whispering?
Well, that I would ask the question, and no one could hear, but they could hear a whisper of some type. And these aren't people that I would have expected to tell me. You know, they looked like normal people. They didn't come up and say, I'm a Ghostbuster. And,
you know, or I'm a psychic.
They might
be prone to picking this stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe one of the speakers is going off a little bit. And we played with the speakers endlessly because there are speakers throughout to play music to make it an enjoyable shopping experience. So that... And recently there was the fifth one was very recent, like in the last couple of months. So that's one of the only ongoing things. But again, I don't feel threatened by it, and neither did these people really, except for one person was a little wigged out. But
this isn't the apparition that follows.
This is not the apparition. How did we get to the whispering? it was the only apparition. Well, one employee was working with a customer, and. I was at kind of down where the whispering takes place, and I can see down towards the loading dock and work area. And I don't like customers to go back there, you know, for a lot of reasons. There's machinery, there's tools, there's things in the way you can trip on.
Right, right.
And this one particular employee, you know, his work is mostly in that particular room. He walks in to the loading dock area. And I see a woman in a dress. I mean, it wasn't a fancy dress. It was just an older dress, a little bent over, following very closely. And I go, well, he knows better than to let someone go in there, you know, especially, you know, someone who might not be stable on their feet because the person was, you know, looked a little feeble.
Yeah.
So I walked down and I used the employee's name and I said, do you have a customer back with you? No customer. Not at all. And it was clear to me. And what was even more interesting was that another employee had been in the area and saw him working with someone. And he hadn't been at all the whole time. He was just doing his little thing. So it was corroborated by another employee seeing someone with him. About 3 or 4 months later, we had a second sighting. I didn't see it, but someone else said that there was a woman that was in the back looking for something, just by observation, looking, pawing around. And it was in the same area. So I don't know what was back there that was attracting that particular whatever. but there it was. Again, unexplained. Someone else reporting it to me saying that they saw something quite like that. And and the employee actually that had the first experience didn't report not only not working with someone, but didn't have any feelings otherwise. So,
interesting.
Yeah,
that's the type of thing I would think most people would say. Well, something that this woman owned got turned in, and she's looking for it.
Could be. Yeah, could be. But I can tell you this: is that I've had animals there. I've had my two dogs. One passed away this summer. Interesting story with the second one and coyotes. But that's another radio program. But the one I have now, and you saw it, she will not go in that room.
Oh, yeah, the whispering room. Yeah, not at all.
She will not go in that room. She'll stick her head in, and she comes right back. And I go in there often to hit lights or whatever. So she's turned on to something that says, don't go in that room. She peeks in, and she heads right back out.
Otherwise, she follows you everywhere.
She does. She follows customers everywhere. Yeah. She's great. Sierra is the best dog. Yeah.
All right. And let's talk about the Campfire Girl dress story.
Oh, yeah. We got a few minutes left. Yeah. In a nutshell, again, about, you know, how these things, how these influences happen. Young couple comes in, goes upstairs, sees a very old campfire girl's outfit. They're very interested in it. They collect a little bit of it. Very interested, asking for prices. We call the dealer, trying to figure out if we can get them to buy this. They go away. We weren't able to satisfy the pricing figure. They needed to think about it. They come back the next day with a picture of their grandmother, I'm sorry, great-grandmother, in a campfire girl's outfit. Same tears on the collar, and we look at the collar, and it's her initials. It's her, their great-grandmother's campfire girls, who was wearing it in Georgia in 1912. That's where the picture is from. So, and these people are from, like, Iowa. So they come all the way to New York State, and they find their great-grandmother's campfire girl's outfit, same initials, same holes in the picture. They got the picture from their mother, or from her, I guess her or his mother. I'm not sure which one it was now. They bought it.
I'm sure.
They did. They really did. But how did that happen? Again, you know, how does that connection get made? So, all right. We got a few minutes, right?
Oh, yeah. We got time. Don't worry.
Yeah. So we have this one story that must be told. This really did happen.
Okay. I assume all of this stuff really did happen.
It did. But this is the one that turned me to these forces have a little bit more power/possibly intelligence than we might give them, you know, have not given them the thought to. It involves me and a couple other individuals, but this one got my attention in a severe way. I move a lot of furniture. I hurt my back a little bit, a little sore. I was going to see a massage therapist, local massage therapy spa nearby. And usually I don't have time. This is a Sunday night. I can only get in later at night, sometimes after the shop is closed. And I go, I'm all set up, got the appointment. I'm going to get that back straightened out. You know, it's going to work out great. The massage therapist is very very good with moving the muscles around, but she's also very aware, extremely aware.
A lot of them are.
Things are. Yeah, many of them are. But this one was a good fit. I'm sitting in the waiting room. I'm the last person. And I feel as if someone's breathing in my face. And I open my eyes, there's nothing there. Again, breathing in my face. This goes on over 3 or 4 minutes. And it wasn't like HVAC air, it was like human breath. And I'm not saying that I knew exactly that's what it was, but I could feel the air in my face and it felt like it was from someone. I'm in the room now, I'm getting the massage. And I just have to ask, I said, did somebody pass on recently here? And I wouldn't normally even be talking about this because I don't go after this kind of stuff at all. I really, really don't. And the massage therapist stops and I could hear her take a deep breath. And she goes, one of my clients who I had been working with for a couple years just died of cancer. It was a female in her late 20s, but literally died 2 days before. What took place over the next several days is, you know, really tested my credulity. I mean, I was okay with that explanation, that experience. Mm-hmm. The next night I had paperwork to do. It was late. It was 9, 10 o'clock at night. I usually pulled my vehicle up. It was in February. And, I didn't know who this person was, by the way, who had passed away. I didn't have a name because she respected that relationship, and I didn't ask. So I didn't know who this was. I just knew that she was a female partner. And there I was doing my paperwork, and my car was pulled up to the door for safety reasons because I'm out in a rural area, and I just want to be safe and make sure. I had turned on the car, let the lights on. And so that there would be enough light flooded in the area. The lights in my van start to turn on and off irregularly, aperiodically, for about 10 minutes. Now, this is an older van. I no longer have it. But that was strange that would electrically be happening at that moment. On and off, on and off, on and off.
I go out, checked it out. I thought maybe someone was playing a game. Like,
sure.
I had that door. I had the doors locked. There's no one in that. No dogs, no cats, no rats, no puppy dogs, nothing. And so I turned it all off. No more lights. That night at 3:30 a.m., the alarms go off, the motion detectors. I'm back there with the sheriff. We search. Every night for 5 nights in a row at 3:30 in the morning, the motion detector goes off. We check. I have the technicians in. We look at all the sensors. It's the same sensor. It's the one right by the front.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no explanation as to why. And he has no explanation as to why that's going on. But after 5 days, it's done. It stops happening. No more motion detectors going off. Nothing. And we don't have an answer for that. On the 6th day, maybe it was the 7th, I leave the computers on often. And this is what, you know, gets to be towards the edge of, like, you know, I can't believe this is actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always searching something on the internet, you know, this piece of whatever, this post or whatever.
Sure.
And I'm always looking at news articles or whatever. I don't read the Ithaca Journal, not because I don't like it. It's just that there's not a lot for me to read unless it's local. When I came in that morning, the obituaries are up, and it's the name of an individual. I can't tell you the name.
That's fine.
Individual. And I say, well, this is interesting. And I said, I don't remember looking it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at that name, and I start researching. And it was she had Facebooks up, you know, trying to help her get through this disease that she was having to raise money, and it just didn't, you know, it didn't materialize. She passed away, but mm-hmm. it was heart-wrenching to read these things.
I'm sure.
So back to the massage therapist a few days later, and I said, you know, I tell her all the experiences, and I said, was it this person? And it was.
Wow.
So again, how do you explain that? Was it this person that was involved? I mean, did they need some kind of... I never contacted the family.
Sure.
And I didn't try to contact her, just made an acknowledgement. That's all I did. And maybe that's all that was necessary. I don't really...
And it just stopped after
that. And it stopped. That was it. That was the last thing. I recognized the name a little bit later. I saw there was a request. So she had been in the store at some point in time many, 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 many months before.
Hmm.
But, you know, that could have been just pure coincidental.
Yeah.
But clearly, I mean, something was going on.
And why did it connect to you?
And why did it connect to me? Yeah. I mean, I'm not a Ghostbuster, you know, but I'm aware. I mean, I accept the experiences as normal,
yeah.
as,
yeah.
you know, we talked about it growing up, that kind of thing. But when I explain that story, sometimes I hear some great stories back from individuals who have had experiences similar. Some of them sound a little sketchy, but this one just gave me the biggest pause that there's more energy. There's more going on than we give credit to. And it's just real. I'm just a normal guy, you know, and these experiences just, you know, they happen from time to time. But that one stopped me. That one had me thinking.
Well, we have a couple more here we can go over, although not as dramatic as that one, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
You had, what was the one I missed? The security camera TV is going on and off.
Yeah, that was another one where I checked with one of my employees, and I said, I know you're playing a joke on me, but the security cameras, and this was a long time ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where this older closed-circuit TV was perched on top of one of the cases. And I would come in the morning, and there it's on, and we're supposed to turn it off. It was part of the game, you know, because we don't need to watch the camera at night because there's no one there. The cameras can record on their own.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a similar procedure went through the whole thing. But somehow that thing was turning itself on every single night for about 2 weeks.
Hmm.
And then it stopped. You know, we got rid of the TV.
Is that why it stopped?
No. It stopped on its own, but we got a new system, so... But it was weird, you know, was there anything else associated with it? No. But clearly, you know, electrical devices are sensitive to this sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Or absolutely. Maybe just in my building. I'm not sure. But there's another instance of a short-term repeated action that started and then stopped.
And one of the ones that's recurring, you said, is a floor creak at 5 p.m.
Well, yeah. And that one, and that's interesting because that's where I did take little notes as to what, you know, what am I experiencing? Is it the sun? Is it the building cooling down? You know, when it's dark at 4:30 and it creaks at 5,
yeah,
or it's totally bright till 9 and it creaks at 5, you can take out thermal expansion right off the plate. You know, it's just not happening. But not every time, but with some regularity. And now, of course, you know, I did a little bit of research with some former employees, and 5 o'clock was quitting time for a lot of people, especially people who were working in the upstairs. So I don't know. That's a curious one. It's not a strange sound, but other people have noticed it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a fella who comes and helps out once in a while, and he says I've been upstairs, and he comes in around 5 o'clock and says that the whole floor starts to creak right around 5 o'clock.
Oh, the whole floor.
Oh yeah. It goes from one end to the other. It's like something fairly large and expansive. But why at 5 o'clock?
Yeah.
Why at 5 o'clock?
Okay. Now that it's the whole floor, it's even weirder.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just like one part of you'd hear like maybe someone stepping and making.
Well, I mean, one could think that, but if you didn't know what the difference was, because I can hear it's like as I described, it's yellow pine. And, you know, these are tongue and groove joints, and you walk, and you hear the creaking of the walking. This is like a wave form of some kind rolling across.
Yep. Interesting. You have a cold spot in the center of the building.
Yeah, there was one that showed up, and it wasn't because our furnace wasn't working. this happened over a period of one winter. And in fact, it was a not cold winter. It was one that was a fairly warm winter. And sure enough, this cold spot reoccurred right in a walkway where there's plenty of air movement. And I had blowers and other heating devices that were nearby. But why? I mean, people, customers, again, reported, you know, that there's a spot here where the heater isn't working. Well, you know, there was no heater there at all to work. But that centerway, there was definitely a cold spot. I couldn't associate it with anything. I couldn't bring it to an association of any particular item, but it only lasted for about a month and a half.
Oh.
And it wasn't during the coldest part of the winter.
Right.
So, but a noticeable cold spot.
And do you have a radio that turns on and off? Or did?
Well, there was for a while. I had an individual, a Marine who fought in Vietnam, fixed radios, passed away, and this radio we put in the back. That was always a little unnerving because it would be tuned to a radio station, an AM radio station, a talk radio station of some kind. And you'd come in and you'd hear voices in the building, and you know that there's no one supposed to be there. And why their alarms aren't going off, I don't know. And that lasted for like a month.
Hmm. So, all right.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, I guess we could stop there.
Okay.
You've had a bunch of other experiences in your life, and maybe we'll have you back to talk about those.
Oh, that'd be sure. I'd love to talk about those. I mean, that pretty much exhausts the Antique Center. I mean, there's lots of little things that happen.
Yeah.
But some of my I've always had a fascination with factories, old factories, including the Ithaca Gun, which I have some great stories from that. So.
Yeah, and so and tell people the address of the Antique Center?
1607 Trumansburg Road. It's right up on Route 96 heading towards Trumansburg, right-hand side.
All right, so people can come see you.
Oh, they sure can, and I'll be happy to talk with them.
And maybe we can do some kind of investigation there someday.
Oh, sure, why not?
See if we can pick anything up.
Yeah.
You should set up a video camera at 5 o'clock and see if you can get the floor.
I got video cameras all over the place. I look at them, believe me.
Do you ever get anything on the video cameras?
No, not really. I mean, there's occasionally a wisp of something that blows by, but that could be anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a human shape that shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Too bad you never caught the apparition on the video camera.
That would have been great.
So, well, thank you very much for coming out.
Sure, sir.
And, we're going to take you out, I think, with some Whirring World from Psyche Corporation. See you next week.
Come in. Do you read me? Do you understand? understand the numbers pouring over your connection to perfection. 5, 8, 3, 10, you heard the singing soaking into our transmission. 21, 34, 55, 89, 144. Whence came this dream that haunts my mind? Behind a curtain, outside of time. Can you hear the knowledge it plays, the whirring of the world? Can you hear the knowledge it plays, the whirring of the world? Can you hear the knowledge it plays, the whirring of the world? Come in, come in, we hear you loud and clear. Beginning our conversion of the signal here. 1597 and counting.